Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having a wonderful Wednesday today. A lot of stuff going on as always. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Hey, bud. I'm here. I'm sorry, Austin. I was talking to Todd. I had a bad connection. Are you better?
Yeah, I'm great. Can you hear me now?
I'm sorry. Todd said I was breathing too loudly into the microphone, so I got to make sure I don't sound like, you know, I'm running laps out here in front of the... Sorry, guys. This is that new microphone. I moved it down some now so we get the sound of my breathing. So at least you guys know that I'm alive. I apologize, Austin. What's your first story?
No worries, bud. Well, this is a perfect example of why so many people are trying to get legal immigration resolved and prevent this illegal immigration, and why also, too, I tell everybody down here in the state of Florida that you should always have a firearm, at least in your home, to protect yourself. A man arrested in Florida yesterday was trying to stab a woman during a home invasion, and after he was arrested, he said he was given orders to steal anything he could in the house to help repay the debt he owed the smugglers who got him into the United States illegally. 32-year-old claimed he had crossed the U.S.-Mexico border after traveling from Guatemala and was still in custody Tuesday at Lake County Jail as an ICE detainer following the incident. The traffickers armed him with two knives and told him if things did not go as planned, he was to either run out of the house or kill anyone in the house to ensure he carried out the mission. The chief of police said he was informed by Border Patrol Tuesday that the name the suspect had given them, Samuel Hernandez, was false and that he would be facing more charges now. He's already being charged with attempted murder, home invasion, robbery while carrying a deadly weapon. His bond has been set at $330,000. The woman, whose identity is decided to keep private, said the intruder broke into her home in the middle of the night. She heard him open the door and basically come at her with a large fixed blade. The woman suffered multiple cuts on her hands while trying to prevent herself from being stabbed in the chest. The husband apparently came out of the bathroom and chased the intruder out of the room, then pushed him down the stairs where his brother-in-law was right there and started punching the man unconscious when he let the knife go. Following the arrest, police said the man told officers he entered the U.S. with 15 other people. He was met by multiple individuals in Mexico who were offered to smuggle him into the country for $522, which is 10,000 pesos. The individual told him that he did not have the money so that he could work off in payment of money. He was told that they had a secure job in the United States already, but he was not given any type of work detail. The report later said the traffickers then dropped him off at the address and gave him the task to enter the home and take anything of value. They then gave him the knives to cut through the patio screen door and handle anything that happened inside. So this is pretty much where it's gotten now. So when everybody comes up with and they try to bring this whole woe is me garbage about these guys coming here for a better life, as you see right here, coming over here illegally not only is bad enough, but in most cases these guys have to repay these smugglers, and in this case they blatantly told him, go into the house, steal everything you can. If you get caught, basically flee the house or kill everybody inside. This is what we're dealing with right now, and this is why we have to have secure borders with significant Border Patrol presence on the borders at all times and four-man fire teams on a regular basis, the best we can to prevent these guys from pushing through the border and getting here illegally, Dad.
Again, Austin, the reason that we're going to have a problem with that is you can't just shoot people because they come into the United States. I mean, until we change the laws and get some type of border protection fencing wall up in these open areas by the Rio Grande where smugglers routinely take people across, nothing's going to change. I mean, you know, look at the heat that Israel took when they shot the Palestinians through the fence, you know, 300-400 yards away when they were rushing the fence, supposedly when the mother was sitting there holding the baby and the baby's head gets blown off a few months back. I mean, you know, when we moved the embassy to Jerusalem. The part problem with all of this is Israel, I got to give them credit for this, okay? This is a big pro-Israel statement. That huge border fence that runs for hundreds of miles, you know, by Palestine, that's 30, 40, 50 feet in some spots, that's got security all around it and towers on it, it's effective. I mean, it's effective. I mean, there's no way you could say that it's not. And that's what we need on our southern borders, because the traffickers aren't going to stop bringing people in. Now, if they don't have the 10,000 pesos that come on, apparently they're being told to come in and steal what they need in order to pay the $500 back. And once they get into that life of crime, they're not going to quit doing that. They're going to keep doing it if they can't find another job. And that's what we're bringing into the United States, because I'm sure the people that have had the 10,000 pesos, that list is getting pretty thin now, because there's so many people smuggling people into the United States. Now, let's talk about Kavanaugh. We talked about him yesterday. I hammered him pretty doggone hard, and now everybody's hammering him hard. This guy was, you know, he's pro-Clinton, pro-Bush, Vince Foster committed suicide, all of this crazy stuff this guy's been involved in, and the guy should not have been nominated. But now I'm going to talk about his money connections. Now, his name came from a list, and I talked about this yesterday, and we were the only people to talk about it that was pre-approved by the Federalist Society. This is a receptacle for the dark money that flows from billionaire Charles Koch's network of corporate polluters and democracy-killing front groups that got the Supreme Court to rubber-stamp unlimited corporate money in political campaigns via the Citizens United decision in 2010. This is an article from Pam Martins. According to Desmog, using data compiled by the Conservative Transparency Project, trust donors and donors' capital fund are two of the largest dark money groups. Remember, you got to remember, Rothschilds contribute to the Federal Society. Donors Trust has given $13 million in total, while Donors and Capital Fund has given another $11 million. The two nonprofits share the same address, 1800 Diagonal Road, Suite 280, Alexandria, Virginia. Nobody else is going to give you this information. The actual contributors behind those large sums remain anonymous as a result of the structure of the groups. The Federal Society has received another $4 million in total from the Koch Charitable Foundations and another Koch-related group, the Claude R. Lambay Charitable Foundation. In an exclusive report in 2010, it was found that Charles Koch's fingerprints were all over Donors Trust and Donors Capital Funds, you know, years ago. I mean, this guy, this entire thing is big money, big pharma, big industry, big Rothschild, running the company, running the United States from both sides of the narrative, putting a do-boy, a soy boy, a unbelievable limp wrist into the Supreme Court. Now, that's who this guy is. This was not a good choice for Trump. I have no idea. Well, I know I did. He was told he was doing it. Because remember, what happens with Trump is he's on a chain. He's on a chain from the Rothschild banking cartel. And whenever he gets a little bit too tight on the chain and he starts doing what he said he was going to do during the campaigns, he gets snatched back in. And then they give him a little bit of chain over on this other side so he can go ahead and do what he wants over here. But when we see something like this guy being put into the nomination seat right now, and between me and you, Austin, I hope he doesn't get confirmed. I hope the Senate stands up and say, wait a minute, that whole thing with Vince Foster was a giant mess. This guy worked with Ken Starr. He's worked with all these dirty law firms. He put his net worth down in 2003 as like $85,000, which has to be a complete and total lie working with these law firms. Yeah, I'm sure he has offshore accounts. This guy, and then he's given all these accolades to this priest who was in the doggone hearing or in the meeting where it was announced the other day, and he's like sheds a tear talking about this priest. What kind of relationship does he have with this priest now, knowing what the Catholic Church is all involved in? And he's a hardcore Catholic. And why in the world he's already voted pro-abortion? He's already voted pro-Obamacare? I mean, he's already voted, you know, he's voting for all of these things already that we stand against. And see, here's what I think. And I'm going to go on a record. I'm going to say this. This is my opinion. This is my opinion. This do-boy found Vince Foster had committed suicide. They have owed him for that for about 20 years now. They've owed him for fighting in favor of Vince Foster's suicide. And he's done all kinds of other things that they found him in favor of doing. And they have probably told him repeatedly, when time comes, we're going to do what we need to do with you, and we're going to give you a seat on the Supreme Court. That's what I believe this is all about. And I believe it's the Du Bois time to get pushed to the court and continue to be the Du Bois and do what he's told to do while he's on the court. Now, I like the lady that Trump had nominated. I liked her a lot. By the way, she was hardcore constitutionalist, hardcore pro-life, hardcore Second Amendment rights, and I liked her. And I would have preferred her as the nominee. Quite frankly, this guy, he's awful, Austin. I don't even want to get into it anymore today. But I told you, I warned you guys yesterday, could Trump have come up with somebody who didn't say that Vince Foster's suicide was a doggone suicide? I mean, we all know Vince Foster was murdered. I mean, he's laying under a tree in a perfect position with a gun to his side, like with his hands folded on his chest, really, after he shoots himself? Really? Is that how you lay down after you shoot yourself? Unbelievable. What nonsense, Austin. What are you thinking? What's your next story?
Yeah, I'm with you on this. This is not a guy we want in there, but I think you pretty much just called it on the head. I think all the favors that he's been called in to do with Vince Foster, but I mean, I saw this day when you just brought this up too. He voted for Obamacare individual mandate. I mean, that right there shows me he absolutely is not a constitutionalist. That's what they tried to put out yesterday, is he was like, well, I basically interpret the law. I don't make the law, whatever the law of the land is. Guys, individual mandate fine was nothing short of full-blown tyranny. That's all it was. You're telling people they're going to be fined by gunpoint, essentially, if they don't have health insurance, if they're healthy and they don't want to pay for it. There was no legality. There was no constitutional premise for that. It was completely and totally illegal. So he signed for that and said he was okay with it. And I think you're right, Dad. I think he's been doing this, and he's been, you know, they've been pulling strings with him, pulling strings. He's been doing exactly what they told him to do every single time with the abortion, with everything. And now he's wanting to get in. And I mean, if you guys don't know this, I mean, Supreme Court judge makes right under $300,000 a year. That doesn't include anything else. That's just their annual salary. Not to mention, they pretty much never lose that. I mean, they're appointed that for life. So he's set the rest of his life. That's not even including the Federalist Society and all the other money that comes along with it, I'm sure, which goes up very high once you're in the Supreme Court, and all the other perks from being able to basically be a Supreme Court judge. I mean, you pretty much can do anything you want within reason inside this country. I mean, that's all you have to do. It's basically flip it out. You know, I'm a Supreme Court judge. Oh, okay. that's it. Okay, I got it. Like, there's that pretty much shuts everybody up immediately. Nobody can really say anything to you at any point in time. There's only 9 of you running around the entire country. So it's pretty limited club that you're in there. So,
well,
yeah,
also remember, Austin, he also went to Yale. How do we know he wasn't a member of
Scott? Oh, yeah,
Monk?
There you go.
How do we know that? That Nazi society. I mean, how do we know he's not a member of that? I mean, this is a complete and total disaster for Trump, Austin. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I believe you're absolutely right. But also, too, in other news, I've always watched the markets with a lot of stuff that's going on. As you guys have watched, the silver market continues to be manipulated up and down with paper, and it's just a mess. But I saw an article today that I thought was interesting, where it shows you that we're pushing right back into the 2007-2008 housing debacle that is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, but they've done it smarter this time, and they have not wrapped up all the dirty, toxic mortgages as heavily as they did last time. But I saw this article today. It says homeowners now have a collective $5.8 trillion in taxable equity, the highest volume ever recorded. U.S. homeowners today are getting richer by the minute. The collective amount of so-called taxable equity, which is the appraised value of a home minus the 20% most lenders require borrowers to keep as a safety net, grew by 7% in the first quarter of this year alone compared with the previous quarter. This is the largest single quarter growth since the company began tracking it in 2015. It is up almost 20% compared with just a year ago. Homeowners now have a collective $5.8 trillion in equity and the highest volume ever recorded, 16% above the last home price peak in 2006. The housing crash was 10 years ago, but the pain in the housing market is still being felt. Millions of borrowers lost their home to foreclosure because they used them like ATMs. Some of today's homeowners saw their parents lose their homes, or many have been evicted as teenagers. Home prices are also rising so quickly that the markets are beginning to overheat, with sales slowing even as the prices rise. This is a red flag to all homeowners because prices historically eventually follow sales. Consumer confidence in the housing market has also been quite bullish and is now beginning to drop. The net share of Americans who say home prices will go up the next year fell by 3% in June compared with May, according to a monthly housing sentiment survey. So this is something that's interesting right now. And the issue is that the housing market, it is what it is. You know, you have to have a house to live. You have to have a clean place to stay. You really need to have a roof over your head, especially if you have a family. There's no question about that. So if you need to buy a house or you need to build a house right now, it is what it is. If you have to do it, you have to do it. But one thing that I am glad to see with this right here is that it's showing that the amount of tappable equity is not being used as aggressively as it was back in 2005, 2006. And that's what this article was talking about right here. Back in 2005, 2006, when the housing market was literally ballooning faster than most people could keep up, which is what it's doing similarly right now, people were immediately refinancing their houses, refinancing their houses, refinancing their houses. I mean, almost every year, every other year, they're refinancing their houses, pulling out all their equity in their house and living off of it. We actually had a neighbor that lived right down the road, and that's what they did for like 5 years. The main husband, he basically didn't work hardly at all. He had basically, I think, a mortgage or an investment firm that he hardly did anything in, and his home, he got it such a good price, and it literally was almost, you know, it almost doubled or quadrupled the overall price of it, especially when you include the second and third mortgages. So he just continued to run it like an ATM. Oh, we need another 50 grand to go on vacation? We'll just run another mortgage. Oh, we need another 150 grand for a boat and another trip and another, you know, addition. Oh, we'll just run a second mortgage. And that's what the majority of Americans did, what got them in such a debacle. See, now if you have, say, a house that you paid $200,000 for, but now it's supposedly worth $400,000, you technically have, you know, $200,000 in tappable equity if you know you're owing only around $80,000, $90,000. Well, what a lot of people were doing, they were saying, I got $200,000 of free money, basically. I'll just refinance my home, take out all that cash, and basically ball out and have fun. Well, now most Americans saw what happened, so they're not doing that, which is good, because once the housing market drops, it's not going to be as catastrophic, because if you owe $180,000 on your house that you bought at $200,000 and now it's worth $400,000, if the market collapses and your house drops back down to $200,000 or $220,000, you're still in a fine boat because you still have at least some positive equity. You're not completely maxed out on multiple mortgages. So I am glad to see that the amount of tappable equity is so high right now. It shows that at least a lot of Americans learned from what happened 10 to 15 years ago. Dad.
Excellent point. The neighbor Ross is talking about bought his house for, I guess, $300,000 or $400,000, and the guy owned a mortgage company, and he was able to finagle his lenders because he had, I guess, how should I say this, he had a bunch of favors due, and they ended up loaning him $1 million on the house. So he had like $700,000 on top of the original mortgage that he just took out in straight cash. So he ended up with $1 million. I think it ended up being $1.2 at the top, $1.2 million.
Yep.
And what ended up happening is he had cleared like $800,000 tax free. Remember, this is a loan. This is a loan. It's not income. So he got $800,000 that he never paid back. It was a tax free loan. And then he ended up filing bankruptcy when it was all said and done. And never ever had to pay the $800,000 back, nor did he have to pay the $400,000 back on the income tax from the he had made the money. The craziest thing I've ever seen. And they literally, Austin was right, they would literally be on vacation 2 to 3 weeks every single month for the 5 years they'd lived in the neighborhood. And you never saw them. They were always gone. They were in Africa, they were in Israel, they were in Europe, they were just traveling the world on the $800,000 that they had borrowed tax-free, which is equivalent of $1.6 million that you would have to earn at that income tax level. So I always got a kick out of that. But in the end, it was bankruptcy for all of them. But if they can keep their house equity lines from being maxed out, Austin, you're right. If there's a downturn in the economy, it won't affect them because the house will still be worth what they owe on it. By the way, health insurance rates are now starting to skyrocket after the federal court ruled against Obamacare that takes money from the healthy to fund high-cost plans. In other words, what was happening is people who had existing diseases basically were covered under Obamacare, and if they didn't have any money, they were covered at very low rates, and they had to be subsidized by the federal government. Trump has stopped that. The Trump administration is halting billions in payments to health insurance companies after a federal court in New Mexico ruled that the federal government was using an inaccurate formula for allocating payments from the risk adjustment program of Obamacare that takes funds from plans with lower health risk enrollees and gives it to plans that cover people who need more care and are expected to have high medical costs. The government agency, the Centers for the Medicaid and Medicaid Services, the CMS, claimed that the ruling ties its hands and prevents it from making any further collections or payments until the litigation is complete. Guys, you know, I feel sorry for people that have existing health problems. I really do. But that's not something that we all as taxpayers should be required for. it's not something that we should be going in and saying, oh, take my money because they don't have health insurance and because they smoked cigarettes their whole life and now they have cancer of the lungs. We need to take care of that. Or they gained 400 or 500 pounds because they wouldn't eat right. Now they've got obesity and heart disease and diabetes and cancer, and they're going to have these expensive hospital bills. That wasn't my responsibility because they did that. Just like it's no more my responsibility, Austin, to basically have to pay the individual mandate, which is Kavanaugh voted for, because I eat clean and I exercise every day and I stay in shape. Why in the world am I having to subsidize Obamacare for thousands and thousands of dollars a year and not even have any health insurance for people who don't want to take care of themselves? Complete nonsense. By the way, article out of Sweden here, a whistleblower in Sweden is now sued by employer, and he's fined $54,000 for revealing that most child migrants into Sweden are adults. Sweden-born Bernt Herlitz, a dental hygienist, was fired from his job when he blew the whistle in 2016 on child refugees entering the country who were really adults posing as children to get on welfare and benefits. He knows that 80% of the cases the children had wisdom teeth, indicating that they were over 18 years of age. He was fired from his job for violating medical confidentiality, and he sued his employer, the County of Gotland, and won damages, but it was appealed, and he was fined $54,000 for telling the truth. Austin, what do you think about that? The guy's having to pay now because he told the truth about all the child migrants who were adults. I mean, can Sweden get any more messed up, bud?
I don't think so. It's not funny. It's really not funny. I'm not laughing because it's humorous. I'm laughing because it's ironical. On they don't stop. It's like the people at the top that are running Sweden, if it hasn't become clear to everybody now on the outside that they have a clear cut agenda they've been told to push to completely and totally fundamentally change the entire population of Sweden, I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, it's so blatantly obvious. It's like writing on a wall now. I mean, they don't even try to hide it anymore, as what they've done with so many people arresting them, banning things they said on YouTube. You can't talk about the truth. You can't talk about what's going on. You can't talk about anything to anybody about anything involving migrants at all. It's crazy. It really is crazy that they've reached this level over there where they're so hard trying to actively bring in this migrant population, but also to shut down the real truth from what the population is starting to see over there. It really is sad. Also, too, in other news, this is very quite sad. In Samu, with Samoa, it's an island close to Fiji towards Australia over there now, they reported now that two infants have died within minutes after receiving the MMR vaccine, the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. Samu brings you breaking news, the death of two young children, both aged 1 year old, from the villages of Safu. Both children died within minutes after being vaccinated with the MMR vaccine on Friday morning, July the 6th. They said our news reporter met with both families, the parents of the first child, and explained in detail to Tala within 3 minutes of their one-year-old daughter being injected with the MMR vaccine by the nurse. She was dead on the table. What is so tragic is that the island nation is such uproar is that the parents of the second child who died had reported already learned about the first infant's death from the other couple hours earlier and declined to have their child receive the same vaccine. The mother reports that the nurse then administered the MMR vaccine to her one-year-old child against her consent, leading to the child's immediate death upon receiving the vaccination. After the second death, government authorities immediately confiscated all remaining doses of the MMR vaccine, dismissed the medical staff, not only apparently conduct on the investigation, but also for their own safety from the absolute outraged public who began rioting after the situation. Guys, anybody that wants to blow smoke in your ear and tell you that the MMR vaccine is safe and it's perfectly fine, they need to do some research. There's a reason why we bring these topics up all the time. There's a reason why I don't vaccinate my children. There's a reason why we're seeing autism rates literally quadruple almost every year now, to the point when by 2030 they're already saying that one in two children are going to be autistic, to the point we see in New Jersey currently right now, boys are one in 32 autistic that are being born. This is not coincidental, guys. There is a significant problem going on, and the MMR vaccine is one of the worst of them when it comes to side effects, primarily because of how young of age they give it to the children. We see side effects from other vaccinations like chickenpox or like HPV, lots of side effects, but we have never seen the level of the really true serious side effects like instant death and paralysis and other issues like we see right here that we have with the MMR vaccine. Nobody still, I've never been able to talk to any doctor that's been able to justify why they stacked the measles, mump, and rubella vaccine all together in one lump sum instead of breaking the vaccination over a period of time, specifically because measles is the main one that they want to discuss on that. But yet you cannot get, to this day, you cannot get a single dose ampule measles vaccine. Does not come into existence at all anymore. And when I see stuff like this, Dad, with these one-year-old kids, it just, I mean, it really makes me mad. Because, I, you know, I got a five-month-old daughter, I got a two-year-old son, and I mean, to understand and know the heartbreak that these parents are seeing right now, especially the second set of parents who blatantly knew what was going on with the first child that died, said they did not want their child being vaccinated. The nurse then went ahead and did it anyways and killed the child on the spot within 3 minutes, Dad. This is ridiculous, and this needs to get national attention, yet nobody I've seen except like two health websites have actually brought up this article right now at all.
This is a major tragedy in Samoa. I don't know what to say about this. This is just absolutely horrible that this is happening. And, of course, they may have gotten a bad batch of the MMR vaccines. It may not be something that that individual vaccine was doing, because that's very rare. I mean, if you started having all these children dying within 3 minutes after the MMR vaccine, nobody would take the MMR vaccine. But remember, you know, Baxter Pharmaceuticals and a lot of these other guys who make these vaccines, you know, sometimes their controls aren't really good. Remember a few years ago over in Hungary when they had that entire batch of the avian flu, basically the virus that was live inside of these vials, and they were going to inject it in these people, and they ended up testing them on the ferrets, and every one of the ferrets died. And that was a laboratory out of Switzerland. I mean, you know, when you get a contamination like that, and these kids are dying like this, it must be an incredible shock to the system for a child to die within minutes like that. I mean, and then for that nurse to give another shot after she had seen the first one die like that, after the parents had forbidden her to do it, is to me criminal. By the way, also, we have people that are linking the Monsanto glyphosate, that would be Bayer glyphosate, to cancer and also to autism. Right now, a judge has ruled there are 300 more cases against Monsanto claiming glyphosate causes cancer. He's ruling these 300 cases can continue. Hundreds of lawsuits against Monsanto by cancer survivors or families of those who died can proceed to trial. A federal judge ruled on Tuesday, finding there was sufficient evidence for a jury to hear the cases that blamed the company's glyphosate-containing weed killer for the disease. The decision by the U.S. District Judge Vincent Shibata in San Francisco followed years of litigation and weeks of hearings about the controversial science surrounding the safety of the chemical glyphosate, the key ingredient in Monsanto's top-selling weed killer. This is great news for us, by the way, as consumers. And, of course, this may be one of the reasons that Monsanto was bought up by Bayer. There may be some type of stipulation in the contract with the purchasing of Monsanto that any of these existing lawsuits would have to be handled by any structure that was left by Monsanto and not by Bayer. I don't know how they legally would have avoided that entanglement. I know years ago I bought windows from a company called Stanek, and they had these lifetime warranties on these windows. And luckily I only replaced about six of them in my house that were Western exposure. And sure enough, lifetime warranties didn't make any difference. 7 years after I bought the windows, the company went out of business. Had a couple of them fog up on me, called the new manufacturer up, and they said, "We have no money in the system to handle lawsuits or repairs or replacement of your windows. Sorry, you're on your own." Just like that. That was it. Done. Finished. And I thought to myself, whoa, that's awful. That's awful. But there was nothing I could do unless you want to take them to court. I mean, so, and who would you take to court? I mean, you have to prove all of this stuff in court now. So I hope that that's not what they did with this whole merger with Bayer and Monsanto, but I don't know what the legal ease was and how it was written. By the way, another study says that Monsanto bullied scientists and hid the weed killer cancer results. This is what the lawyer is telling basically the jury. Monsanto has long worked to bully scientists and suppress evidence of the cancer risks of its popular weed killer, a lawyer argued on Monday in a landmark lawsuit against the chemical global company. Monsanto has specifically gone out of its way to bully and to fight independent researchers, said the attorney Brent Wisner, who represented internal Monsanto emails that he said showed how the agro company rejected critical research and expert warnings over the years while pursuing and helping to write favorable analysis of their products. They fought the actual science showing the product caused cancer and a plethora of other diseases because they wanted to massively increase their bottom line profits on an herbicide that was non-selective and would kill anything that you sprayed it on. Gossin, you know, the whole thing about all of this is crazy. You know, that these guys get away with all of this stuff, and it's supposed to be okay. And the sad part about it all is that most people still in America today have absolutely no idea that this is going on and how bad this is. Now, new studies are coming out saying that atrazine is definitely a gender bender, and that it causes, you know, little boys to become little girls. It takes frogs and turns male frogs into female frogs. And that's how bad these things are. And if it weren't for shows like this telling you guys how in the world this stuff works and how bad it is, who in the world is supposed to tell you? Because the mainstream media, who is owned by these same corporations and these giant interlocking directorships, they're not going to tell you their products are causing cancer or turning your little boy into a little girl. Unbelievable, Austin, this is going on. By the way, illegal immigrants in Italy now have massively, massively fallen, down by 80% just in 2018, because the government has decided they weren't going to take them in and they weren't going to feed them. Italy immigration has dropped 80% on the populist government compared to the same period last year. The UN reported that 16,900 migrants arrived by sea in Italy so far this year, whereas the same period in 2007, it was 85,000 migrants that arrived. Wow. Dramatic drop in migrant levels began with agreements between Italy and the Lebanon Coast Guard to prevent these people from picking up migrants and acting as a shuttle service to bring the illegal aliens into Italy. So, guys, kudos to Italy. I'm glad they're stopping this, because no country can survive open borders. Rome proved that, and it's been seen over and over and over again throughout history. Austin, what do you think, and what's your next story?
It really has. I mean, no country can sustain it, especially long term, because, I mean, what's happened now is these African countries, these Middle Eastern countries, well, primarily Africa, because they're right on the water right there, they have pretty much figured out now all they have to do is get a blow-up raft, like, I mean, something you basically go in your swimming pool with, I mean, just like a basic blow-up raft, jump on it with a life jacket, start paddling out to the ocean, and the first Navy vessel or first Coast Guard or first transport vessel you see, basically you get picked up, because it's a humanitarian thing. They have to pick you up so you don't drown out there. And then, of course, they don't take you back to Africa. They take you into Italy. So I'm glad they stopped this nonsense, because once word got out, and this is what happened 4 or 5 years ago, once word got out that you could just start jumping on a blow-up raft and just push you out of the water, and by the time you ran into your first boat, they'd pick you up and take you to a new country. And not just take you to a new country, when you get there, you'd get free housing, you'd get 400 euros a month, you'd get free cell phone, you'd get free Wi-Fi, you'd get free transport card, you'd get free subsidies for food. I mean, honestly, why wouldn't you want to jump on a blow-up raft if you're in Africa and that's the next option you have? I mean, especially what we've seen going on in Yemen and Egypt and these civil wars and these guys coming in and massacring these villages and everything. I mean, why would you not want to jump on a blow-up raft? I would, honestly, if I was there. If they give you that type of incentive to come to another country, it's a joke. They have to stop it. You cannot survive this onslaught. Even Germany's right-wing opposition party, AfD, filed human trafficking charges against several German migrant aid organizations now that have been doing just what I talked about, accusing the group of facilitating illegal immigration from Africa to Europe. AfD says its lawsuit is based on the German statute that makes it a crime to aid or assist in illegal immigration repeatedly or on behalf of several foreigners or for profit. The groups targeted in the suit pick up migrants off the coast of Libya, bring them across the Mediterranean Sea to European ports by using their people trafficking activity to acquire donations. The groups are violating German law, so they basically filed suit on them to stop this, because they're not even allowing them to jump on rafts and go pick them up. They're basically taking the boats all the way to the coast of Libya. The people could just jump on the boat and just drive back to the European country. So definitely something that cannot sustain. So I'm glad to see we're actually getting some pushback finally in Europe. We're kind of like 2 to 3 years too late, but at least we're doing something now, because something has to be done. Also, too, going back to the glyphosate topic, I want to touch base on this real quick, because we we talk about it a lot on the show, but it's primarily because of how toxic this stuff is to the human body. Another study now came out, and all these people continue to come out with the same similar research studies because they're actually true. A glyphosate-based herbicide has been shown to cause adverse health effects in rats, even at doses claimed to be completely safe on humans by regulators, according to a new study. The study used the U.S. EPA acceptable human daily dietary exposure level of glyphosate, which is 1.75 milligrams per kilogram of body weight per day. The same exact concentration was given to rats daily over a three-month period. The study was focused on the newborn, infancy, and adolescent phases of life in the rats. The results revealed that a glyphosate-based herbicide was able to alter very certain important biological parameters, including sexual development, genotoxicity, and intestinal microbe. The effects occurred at a dose deemed safe by regulators to ingest on a daily basis over a long-term period. In human equivalent terms, the dosing period corresponded to the period from birth to 18 years of age in humans. The results showed an alteration in some sexual development parameters and rats tested with glyphosate, especially in females as well. Moreover, rats treated with glyphosate specifically presented statistically significant changes of the intestinal, gut, and microbe, in particular during development. And the thing was, the crazy thing is here, it said rats treated with pure glyphosate or its mixed formulation presented similar levels in urine of glyphosate and its principal metabolite, thus showing no significant difference in absorption or excretion of glyphosate among the two treatment groups, but suggested a bioacclimation effect of glyphosate was proportionate to the length of treatment. What they're saying is here, it doesn't really matter how you get the glyphosate. If you're getting the glyphosate, the way you process it, the way you store it, and the way you excrete it is the same, and it builds up in your system over time, causing more and more and more and more health problems the longer you're exposed to it. That's why if you eat really, really clean, and you keep your body very healthy, like I try to do, like Dad tries to do. And, you know, sometimes you go out to eat dinner somewhere, you have like a sweet potato or something like that out at a restaurant, and you'll know real quick if it's contaminated with anything that's not good. And I don't mean like bacteria or anything like that. I mean like if it's got glyphosate or if it's got pesticides, because the food never sits well in your stomach. You never digest it well. You get brain fog. Your energy goes through the floor, and you realize real quick in about 30 minutes to an hour after ingesting it that you just ate something you should not have eaten, because the glyphosate hits your system and your body goes, what the heck did you just put inside my body? This stuff is so stinking toxic. I need to do everything I can, including redirecting all the blood, all the nutrients, everything I can in the digestive tract to process this stuff, get it out of the liver and get it out of the kidneys as quick as possible before it kills me, you idiot. Why in the world did you eat this stuff right now? That's what your body says to me, at least, whenever I eat it. So I've learned a long time ago it's best just to not eat this stuff. And what's happening, exactly what they're saying here, it accumulates in the system. That's why you see people that are like, well, I've eaten this and that, or I've eaten GMO this and that for the last couple years, I don't have any issues. That's because it has not reached an accumulation effect to show significant side effects in your body. Everybody has a threshold level of how much glyphosate their body can accept in the tissue before it starts having very, very, very bad side effects. Everybody has a certain point. That's why certain people start having bad health issues in their 30s, some in their 20s, some in their teens, some in their 40s. Not saying everything's related to glyphosate, but what I'm saying is it has a compounding and contributing factor to a lot of issues that happen in the body negatively, Dad.
Excellent. Now, let me add something to that. A lot of it has to do with mineral stores in the body. Glyphosate specifically blocks specific nutrients in the soil so they can't be uptaken by the weed, so the weed dies. It takes about a week. It does the same thing in our bodies. It breaks down and forces certain nutrients not to be absorbed in the intestinal tract. That's what it's been shown to do repeatedly. The problem with that is that specific nutrients are built up in your body, in your tissues, in your liver, in your lungs, etc. And you have a mineral reserve in your system. In other words, you may have zinc or iron or manganese or magnesium built up in your system throughout your organs and tissues. And when you start using the glyphosate and you start preventing those nutrients from being absorbed, your body goes into the storage container. container in the body and it starts using them, because it has to have those minerals. And it's when those minerals stop being used by the body because they're no longer available to the body, you start having all kinds of health problems, like zinc. Zinc massively affects fertility. It massively affects fertility in both men and women. And so if you can't absorb zinc and you're taking zinc supplements, but you got glyphosate in your system and it blocks the absorption of zinc, eventually you run out of the storehouse of zinc. That's what it goes into. That's how the minerals are affected. Now, as far as me and you, the other day, my mother-in-law, Shirley, who I love with all my heart, she's great. Guys are always making mother-in-law jokes. I got that. I got a great mother-in-law. Austin's grandmother, Sharon's mom. It's like they need to clone Shirley and make her everybody's grandmother. I mean, she's that good. You know, they need to clone my wife, and for guys who are single, raise little Sharons for everybody. She's that good. And the reality is that, you know, I say that stuff in jest, but I kind of really mean it, right? But the truth of the matter is, she took us out to dinner the other night because she had a coupon for one of these local steakhouses. I think it was Longhorn. And I got one of their potatoes. They're sweet potatoes. And Austin, it's exactly what you said. Within 2 days, by the next day, I was feeling awful. I had brain fog. My nose was running. And I'm like, what the heck? And my body had to cleanse all that junk back out of my system. The reason it affects me so quickly is my body just says, no, that ain't going to work for me. No, we're not doing that. And I feel it immediately because we eat so clean. Now, let me read this letter. This came in from Zach. Letter to Austin. I love this letter, by the way. He did a great job on this letter. He goes, Austin, I love your discussions on GMO crops. We farm around 800 acres here in central Ohio. Big Ag has turned family farming into a welfare state. Don't want to make this too long of an email, but I thought you might be interested. The whole ag economy is wrapped up into one. The commodities market is essentially based upon this new GMO seed. You really can't do non-GMO organic and survive unless the whole community grows a certain seed. Due to overcast spraying, which means basically drift of Roundup and other kinds of pesticides, organic farmers are finding it nearly impossible to raise a true organic crop. Everyone is in the community uses a GMO seed for one reason only, for money. These big seed companies bundle your farming needs like big insurance does to lower your rate. You buy the seed from one company and you get a discount on your fertilizer, your soil testing, etc., turning it into basically a monopoly economy. The commodities pricing is based on this economic. The yield number is basically guaranteed because we are pretty much raising plastic that turns green, LOL. Margins and profits are so slim in farming that it's basically bow down to a certain master or you cannot survive. It is such a hard rut to be in. You either try and farm ethically and go broke or stay with the crowd. I love helping my family, but at the end of the day, do not buy GMO. If we collectively stop buying it, they will then change their ways. Until then, we live in a monopoly. God bless. That is one of the most articulate, succinct letters that I've ever read on this. And this is from a farmer family in Ohio, and I want you guys to realize that everything we tell you about this stuff is dead on right. Austin, what do you think?
Well, I mean, Zach nailed it on the head. I remember when he sent me that email and I read it. You read it too. We both went, wow. You know, I mean, because we know a lot of this stuff. We talk about a lot of the stuff. But when you have it confirmed from people that are involved in it, that live it, that are engulfed in it on a daily basis, it just makes it that much more real for us. Because I think Dad and I get almost numb to a lot of this stuff. We already know what's going on. We talk about it a lot. We bring a lot of it up primarily for our new listeners and our active listeners and all of our listeners and our Health Masters family. Because these are topics that have to get pushed all the time. Vaccines, GMOs, all these things that you can change and you cannot put in your body. And the reason why I say it like that is this. There's some aspects of things we can't change. I can't physically change what's happening in Syria right now. I can't physically go over there and stop this Supreme Court pick from being able to put into power. I can't stop anything like that. However, what I can do is I can talk about it, and we can inform the listeners on the best decisions to make and a lot of the things to do and not to do from our experience and what we've learned and from the emails that we get like this all the time. And topics like GMO and vaccines are some of the easiest ways to keep keep your body healthy, clean, and free of certain ailments, because if you keep this stuff out of your body functions much better in most cases that I have found. So, you know, again, we thank Zach for that email, because, I mean, it's not an easy thing to admit that you're actively involved with the GMO food growth, but again, as he just said, he explained it so succinctly, they have made it now an active monopoly, and you pretty much are with them, or you're with the terrorists, which is organic food. I'm not saying that derogatory. I'm using that to quote George Bush loosely. That's pretty much what they've done now. You're either growing GMO food, you're with us, you're with the cool kids, you grow GMO food, you grow plastic that turns green, or you're basically a rebel patriot, you know, terrorist, and you grow organic. And we're going to make sure we do everything we can to make sure you can't make any money doing this. That's the point that they've done this. Now they've done it on purpose, guys. This wasn't an accident. Monsanto's turned into a monopoly, and I think what Dad said earlier with Bayer buying them out, me personally, my opinion, I think there's multiple reasons this would happen. A, I think they're trying to build, as we've seen so many acquisitions and mergers in these big companies over the last decade now, they're trying to build a giant global monopoly that literally controls the pharmaceutical and the food industry all in one. I think that's where this is headed. This is just the beginning of it. Two, I think glyphosate and Monsanto literally is in the same category of talking about hell and Satan and everything else now. That's where they're at when you talk about them. So people know that. A lot of the population has woke up, and so they have to change the name. There's a strong possibility, in my opinion, and from other people I've talked to, that the glyphosate name, the Roundup name, is going to change in the next couple of years. They're going to completely rebrand the image, and whether or not they actually take the product off the market, which I do not think they will, but they completely go in and change the name of it, just like they did with NutraSweet, with aspartame. They changed the name of it to Equal, or vice versa, whichever one it used to be. Dad, you remember that? I didn't win it. It was Equal, or it was NutraSweet, then they changed it to Equal. It is the exact same product.
Well, what they do, they always do that. Whenever they get bad branding on an image, on a product, they just change it. I mean, you see that with apartment complexes in college towns. But that's exactly what happens. I mean, you know, you go up to Tallahassee, where people have been shot or killed in these apartment complexes, the names are changed. Sometimes they change the street names on the doggone street. Everything gets changed. Yep. I mean, I've seen it repeatedly because they don't want the bad branding or the bad imaging. So that's what people need to understand, guys. I mean, it's just, this is what these guys are going to do. This is why Bayer has bought Monsanto. The name Monsanto will be no more. It's gone.
Yep.
It's absolutely crazy. By the way, pomegranates, I take pomegranate powder. I have organic pomegranate powder at the office, by the way. And I use it every day in my protein shake. And now it's been shown to massively reduce the risks of heart disease and cancer, which I thought that was crazy. I said, I want to redo that. It says it helps reverse plaque buildup in the arteries. And this has been done with multiple studies. It's been increasingly refuted by the evidence itself, showing that statins have been demonstrated to weaken the heart muscle, and along with other 300 documented adverse health effects. Another thing about pomegranate is it also uniquely supported by a body of cross-culturally overlapping values, such as promoting fertility, prosperity, and longevity. And so pomegranates are one of the best things that you could eat. In fact, some people are now saying that it is nature's perfect anti-cancer food. So, guys, eat pomegranates. Make sure they're organic. It says preliminary research has been shown that pomegranate can inhibit and or destroy a range of cancers, including prostate cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer, and pancreatic cancer. But because the cancer stem cell hypothesis is relatively new, there are a few studies that have been performed to assess the ability of natural compounds to kill cancer stem cells. So, guys, I'm not making any claims on what pomegranate will and won't do. This is what I'm reading from this article by Sasha Shahi. But the reality is this. I use it, about a tablespoon of it, every single morning, powdered organic pomegranate powder in my protein shake, and I absolutely love it. And to me, it's better to do it that way than try to eat a pomegranate, especially when they're out of season, Austin. So pomegranates are one of the best things that you could possibly eat. Now, one update on Syria. Chemical weapons watchdog says that there were no nerve agents used in the April attack that incited the U.S. to bomb Syria again. World War III with Russia again. I mean, we already told you guys that. The Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, the Global Chemical Weapons Watchdog, issued a report stating that it found zero evidence that sarin nerve gas was used in an attack upon the reported dubious Al-Qaeda-linked White Helmets NGO group in April. The U.S. rained airstrikes on Syria following the disputed events, which nearly led to World War III with Russia. Trump has authorized $6.6 million to continue to fund the White Helmets. What a mess. Guys, we called it. We told you there were no weapons that were used over there. It was another thing because Trump wanted to pull the troops out of Syria. And basically, certain countries didn't want that to happen. And so now all of a sudden we have these crazy, quote-unquote, false flag chemical attacks that never happened. God, what do you think, Austin?
You know, sometimes I dislike being right about certain things, to be honest with you, and this is another one of those. I mean, we talked about this the day that it happened. I remember I was on Live Hagman's show when we released another 100, what was it, combined effort with Israel and the UK, I think 110 Tomahawk missiles into Syria to blow up these facilities that I talked about it on the show on the next Monday after that. The guy came out in Syria and he said, we haven't done chemical weapons here in almost 5 years. He goes, now we try to make antibiotics and we try to make other drugs that can help save people because they're sick all the time and we don't have any research facilities or any labs to make anything anymore because they've all been bombed. And now you guys have pretty much bombed the last of our research facilities for us to make antibiotics for our people. And everybody goes, oh, this is a lie. He's lying on TV. He's just lying because they got caught with weapons gas. And then they go, and by the way, since, you know, everybody thinks we had nerve agents and weapons gas out here, it's 7 a.m. right now. You guys bombed us 4 hours ago, and we're standing at ground zero without hazmat suits on. So, by the way, if you thought we had nerve agents here, don't you think we'd probably be wearing at least respirators? We wouldn't be standing here in t-shirt and shorts telling you how you just bombed our facility and made antibiotics in? Everybody goes, well, that's a good point. I'm like, no, duh, it's a good point. This is what they did last time. They did it over a year and a half ago, and they did it again at the same time. Anytime there's something going on, they need to take the blame away from, take the focus off of, like they did over here with the United States, everything that was going on in the media, pushed it over to Syria for 2 weeks, issued a false flag attack, bombed Syria, tried to provoke a world war with Russia. Russia essentially backed down, which thank goodness they did, and they showed some restraint so we did not start another war. And everybody came out and said, there was no weapons gas. There was no chlorine gas. There was no chemical gas. There's these old, like, propane containers. There's, like, two photos of them where they fell through a roof and landed on a bed. They seriously look like propane cans that came off the back of a forklift. Somebody put fins on the side of them. They go, oh, that's it. Those are the chlorine weapons gas dispensers that fell through the roof. And I was kind of looking at it going, that doesn't look like chemical warfare dispersant agents at all. Those look like propane tanks. Oh, no, that's fake news. Fake news, fake news. That had to be chemicals. It had to be chlorine because that's right. We said it is. And Israel said it is. Bomb, bomb them, bomb them, bomb away, bomb again. I'm like, oh, gosh, here we go again. So, we're blessed that Russia calmed down and didn't do anything on that, but again, it doesn't shock me at all that now they're coming out and they're saying, oh, none were released again. More fake news from CNN and the mainstream media in the United States, Deb.
Well, this goes right back to what you said yesterday, Austin, about how every 2 to 3 weeks the news cycle has to change because the American population stops believing it, the fake news, so they've got to do another news story, another. This is Edward Bernays. Remember, Edward Bernays was the cousin of Sigmund Freud. Both Edward Bernays and Sigmund Freud were both Sabbatean Kabbalists. Look it up. They were both Luciferians. I mean, Freud had a cocaine habit that wouldn't quit. The guy was, like, addicted to drugs. And Edward Bernays was his cousin, and they were both Luciferians. They worshipped the devil. That's just the bottom line. And these guys basically taught, Bernays taught everybody how to do problem, action, solution, and how to completely reprogram people's brains by hammering them over and over and over again with this news. And with the advent of the radio, it became very, very, very effective with Tesla's technology. Then the TV set, oh my gosh, the TV set, it took it to a whole different level because they could put you into an alpha brainwave state, even put you into a theta brainwave state with the TVs, and especially with flicker rates that we've talked about on the show, which made you like, oh, whatever. So you sit there drooling on yourself, eating your Doritos, drinking your six-pack every night, thinking how life was so wonderful, but you do nothing with your life. Guys, without a purpose for your life, the people perish, is what the Word says. And we all need to continue to have a purpose every day of our life, as long as we're here and as long as we live. One more thing. U.S. stuns the world now. This is unbelievable. By opposing breastfeeding globally. New York. A resolution to encourage breastfeeding was expected to be approved quickly and easily by the hundreds of government delegates who gathered this spring in Geneva for the United Nations affiliated World Health Assembly. Based on decades of research, the resolution says that mother's milk is the healthiest for children, and countries should strive to limit the inaccurate or misleading marketing of breast milk substitutes, would lead to all types of allergies and disabilities in children. Then the U.S. delegation, embracing the interests of infant formula manufacturers, upended the delegations. American officials sought to water down the resolution by removing the language that called on governments to protect and promote and support breastfeeding, and another passage that called on policymakers to restrict the promotion of food products that many experts say can have deleterious effects on young children, like soy. When they failed, they returned to threats. According to the diplomats and government officials who took part in the discussion, Ecuador, which had planned to introduce the measure, was the first to find itself in the crosshairs. Guys, you can't even make this stuff up. No breastfeeding? Well, that's right, because the globalists want the children to eat the soy. They want them to eat the products that are going to cause all types of allergies and health problems in these children, that are causing them all kinds of problems later on in life, including reduced fertility rates and reduced life expectancies. Guys, thank you so much. I love you. Got to pray for you again today. Get to pray for you guys every day. You guys are awesome. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from me, from us, and from healthmasters.com. And thanks for all the comments I'm getting on this new microphone that I'm still getting used to. It's just I got to make sure I don't breathe into it, Austin. I'm in a wind tunnel. And so you guys rock the planet. I love you so much. I appreciate you so much again. Thank you for your support. And Austin, I'm going to go ahead and do the write-up on it. You go ahead and close it up.
Absolutely, bud. Yeah, there's definitely some wild stuff going on, and that's what, if you guys notice it, you watch the news cycle, it's about every 2 to 3 weeks, they constantly change it with some other conflict that's going on. Like I said, if it's something going on with the immigration, if it's something going on with the police, if it's something going on in Syria, if it's something going on with Trump, there's constantly some type of very significant conflict that they push all the time for weeks on end, and then bam, they change it up, something else happens. It's to keep everybody focused on what doesn't matter. That's what they do all the time. So you just have to keep your eyes open. Honestly, stay off the mainstream media. I really don't watch TV actually hardly all anymore, and I try to get all my news from alternative news and other sources that I have all around the country, from being able to get real news and not get wrapped up in the just the mainstream garbage, just doo-doo news is what I always call it. It's just nonsense. So thank you guys for all the support. Thank you for continuing to send us emails like this, like Zach did today. When you send us emails like this and really go into detail, even when it's, you know, personal stuff or family stuff, and if you don't want us divulging your name or your information or something like that, just throw it in the email. We're very private with a lot of stuff. We don't disclose anything if you don't want us to, but we like to bring it out there so other people can hear it as well. So thank you for the support. Be sure, if you need anything, check out the website at healthmasters.com. Lots of different promos and specials, including the Resveratrol Plus being on sale for over 15% off right now. I think that's going until Friday, and then we're changing it up. We're going to end up changing actually nothing, I think. I think it's just the sale's going to end. So we appreciate you guys. Thank you for the support. We love y'all. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.